morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see all of you. I want to just say hello to Springboro Campus to the south, Northmont to the north, Classics that's joining us right now, and I just found out that we have a friend, his name is Ron, who is joining us all the way from the UK live right now. So with Ron and all the other campuses, would you help me welcome them as they join us together as we are one church in a variety of locations. Good to have you, Ron. Hey, I hope you brought your Echo book with you. Would you grab your Echo book if you brought one with you? We've been telling you to bring it with you, and you can turn towards the very end as we're going to be looking in God's Word in just a minute. But if you're here and you're a guest, I want to just tell you that we are so glad you're here, and here's why. Because you get to hear what God is doing in our life as a church. You might be looking for a church to connect with, and if so, you can sit back and hear what God is doing in this church family, and it might help you in the process of making a decision. If you're here from out of town, we're glad you're here. Later on in the service, I'll help you navigate what we're gonna be doing together as a church, but we're really, really glad you're here. For those that come on a regular basis, thank you for coming, because this is an exciting, exciting day for us as a church as we take another step, another defining moment as a church family as we move towards a vision that we believe God has given to us. And we're calling it Echo, and you know that. Some of you probably don't know that in 1964, 12 families started meeting in the Kettering YMCA. Anybody know in all of our campuses? Ron, you probably don't know in UK, but how many of you know where the Kettering YMCA is? Can I just see you raise them up high? In Centerville, most of us know. 12 families began to meet there, and Fairhaven Church was launched. Did you know that the name Fairhaven comes right out of the book of Acts, where Paul stopped at a fair haven? That's how we got our name. And Fairhaven Church was launched, and we began to grow, and we needed some extra space, and so our very first campus was on Ron Road, and we continued to grow. God continued to bring people, and people were giving their lives to Jesus Christ. We got out of space, and in 1983, we moved to the Whip Road campus. We sold the Ron Road campus, and we moved to Whip Road here in 1983. And in 1987, we wanted to reach the next generation. We thought that we should reach kids and students. Sound familiar at all, church, right? 1987, and so we added a building for students and for kids, and we began to reach more and more kids. And in 1995, those of you that are right here in the Centerville campus that are attending the worship service right here in the worship center, we added the balcony and the mezzanine because we were out of space in 1995. And in 2007, God gave us a vision called Imagine 320 out of Ephesians 320 by raised in all of our campuses. How many of you remember that? Anybody remember that? Okay, many of you remember that, where we ran out of space, and so we put an atrium on the Centerville campus so you could have community. And if you've ever been by the Centerville campus during the week, you can see hundreds of people that meet and gather Bible studies, and moms and grandpas and dads and kids playing and coffee and people sitting together, and it's just absolutely amazing. We added a children's area. We renovated that, because here's what we know: if we get the kids, we get the parents. And so we go after the kids, right? And so we renovated the kids area to make it fun so that we could teach them about Jesus. And that was awesome. We added more parking. In 2010, we launched the Northmont campus. And so Northmont, it's great to have you with us, as back then we were one church in two locations. And now you're into two services, and it's amazing to see what God is doing there. And we ran out of space. And in 2013, God gave us another vision, and it was entitled Reach, because we wanted to reach further. We wanted to reach more of our friends. I challenged us as a church to think about two people that you knew that were far from God, and start praying about those two people. How many of you remember Reach? Anybody by raised hand remember Reach? Okay, we talked about that, and we decided that we needed a preschool building because we had so many babies. I don't know how that was happening, but you guys were doing a great job, and we had so many babies, and we needed a preschool building. We needed a play area, and we built the Schwamm Chapel in order for us to launch the Classics service in Classics. We are so honored that you are joining us right now, and we're grateful for what God is doing there. And so back then, we were one church in three different locations, and we began to grow, and And in 2014, we discovered that we were run out of seats right here in Centerville, and we discovered that there was a whole bunch of you that lived in Springboro. And so we said, why not go to Springboro? And so in 2014, we launched the Springboro campus, and Springboro is joining us right now, and we're glad to have you, and it's so awesome to see what God is doing there in the Springboro. And so now we are a church that's in four different locations, and that's pretty exciting. And in 2017, we thought, you know what? Most of you, if you watch the people around you during the day, have you noticed that everybody watches their little screens? Their phones, their smartphones? In fact, have you ever seen anybody run into a wall or run into something? I just saw that this last week, and I didn't want to laugh out loud, but I thought, you know, I probably do the same thing, who knows? And so we thought, why can't we capitalize on that? And so as a church, we decided that we're going to start putting something online so people can join us. And we got Ron, who's in the UK, and we got people right now that are in South America, and all kinds of people that are in, you know, traveling and want to connect and stay with us. And so in 2017, we launched the online campus. And we find ourselves at another defining moment because we're out of space. Did you know that in the last 15 years, we've seen just under, ready for this? 10,500 people make a decision for Jesus Christ. Just under 10,000 people. And we're out of space. And God has brought us to this defining moment that we're calling Echo. And so if you've got an Echo book, you can kind of follow along. Let's just review. We're going to do it quickly, but I want to review with you to make sure that, again, we're all familiar with all the eight different pieces, because we want to echo farther. We want to echo louder. We want to echo longer. And there's eight pieces to this vision that we believe that God has given to us. And let me just review with you. Number one, we want to create a permanent home for Springboro. It's time for them to have a permanent home where they can come during the week, and they can invite their friends to coffee and sit and have community and have Bible studies for moms and grandmas and grandpas and dads who want to come. And so we want to create a permanent home for them as they need that there in Springboro. And we're looking for property. Would you pray about that? We're looking for property. We have a couple of leads, and so please be praying about that for the Springboro campus. They need that badly. Secondly, we're going to launch a campus in Beaver Creek. And I've had a few people send me emails and say, why Beaver Creek? Well, here's the reason. I think I've told you this, but let me tell you again. It's because 1,500 of you live in Beaver Creek. And so why not go where you live? And so we're going to launch a campus right where you live there. I've got a good friend. His name is Chris Walsh, and he's got a friend that lives in Beaver Creek, so he's pretty excited about this because, you know, his friend, he's going to invite there, and you'll hear from he and his wife in just a second. So we want to launch in Beaver Creek. Thirdly, we want to invest in our local partners. How many of you, by a raised hand, in all of our campuses have heard what we're doing at Christmas with Christmas bins? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high. All right, we're going to be talking about this in the next couple of weeks. How many of you know that Christmas is like 2 months away? Yeah, there's no amen right there. That's And so we have local partners that we connect with both in Dayton and in Franklin, and we want to invest in them because they're doing a fantastic job. We want to invest in reaching more people who are struggling in poverty in our city. We want to address those kinds of issues, and so we want to invest in that. We also want to invest in our global partners, our global staff. We want to make sure that those that are hurt by the tsunami in Indonesia and all over the world, that we can be a part of that. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we give over $1.5 million away a year to things that are away from this, you know, this building or any other building that we have. It's absolutely amazing that we get to be involved in that. Number four, we want to install some seats in the Centerville Worship Center. So if you're in the Centerville Worship Center, here's the reason why we want to do that. Just look around. We're at 80% capacity in at least two of our services. And we know that when you get to about 80% capacity, it's really difficult. We're going to add more seats. We want to add that so that we have an opportunity for you to bring your friends and family. And today I have a friend who's visiting with me today, and I've invited her, and she's here, and it's awesome to have her. And so it's awesome that we can do that. Number five, we want to replace some technology that's outdated so that we can make sure that we do these campuses really, really well. And we want to use the internet and all those. And so we've got some outdated equipment. We need to do that. Number six, we want to enhance our guest experience. We want to make sure that when our guests come and you invite them, that you know we're going to treat them like VIPs, because we want to introduce them to the most important relationship that they could ever have in their lives. Am I right, church? And so one of the ways we can do that is to make sure that their cars don't hit a parking lot pothole. And so we're going to fix some parking lot situations that we have. Number seven, we want to develop the next level of leaders. We want to develop millennial leaders. And if you were here last week, I introduced you to a couple of them, and we have more that we want to bring on. We want to invest in our future, and that's so important. And then lastly, number eight, we want to update some of our kids in our student areas. It's amazing how tired a room can get when you got lots of kids and lots of students, and they just trash the place. Can I just be honest with you? But we're happy about that, aren't we, church? Because we want them to come, and we're just going to update it. That's okay. We'll just keep updating it. And so it's very exciting, these eight things that we're calling Echo, because we want to echo into our future. We want to echo our stories. We want to echo what God has done in the life of this church family since 1964. Incredible. A week ago Friday, I invited all the leaders, our governing board, who I report to them. I mean, they're the leaders of this church, and you vote them in. And so I report to them, and our governing board, and many of the leaders that came from all the different sites, Springboro, Northmont, Classics, all the Centerville, we brought them all together on a Friday night. And this is what I said to them. I said, hey, if you're a leader, you got to go first. And so I said, leaders need to go first. And so we did. We had this big service, and they took those cards that we gave you today, and we'll talk about that in a minute, those prayer cards, and they turned those prayer cards into an offering of commitment in their lives, and then we asked them, hey, what are you excited about? And here's what a few of them said. Watch this.
Most excited about with Echo is getting to invite our coworkers and friends that live in Beaver Creek that think it's too far to come to Centerville, and we look forward to coming closer to them.
I like the seats. I like the new seats. That's nice that we'll be able to seat more people.
I think it's an excellent theme for a campaign because it makes you think back. God did all of this for us. Test him again. Try it, because you can't outgive it.
God over and over through the many years we've been at Fairhaven grow the kingdom with each of these initiatives that we've been having a privilege to be involved in.
A permanent campus for Springboro is pretty exciting from my standpoint because that reflects the success of that campus and how much it's grown and how many lives it's already been reaching. So now they're ready to really put down some real stakes in the ground.
Obviously, when they talk about doing this for the next generations, I'm excited to do this for my children and for future generations.
We live in Beaver Creek, and so it's just exciting that Fairhaven is looking to build another campus and that they want to reach people here in our area.
I'm really excited for this, like, to help our generation, and like, I'm excited to see us expand and go to new locations. I really just think it's awesome what God's gonna do.
We had a son in May of 2017, and it was right around the time that the online campus started. And any new parent knows that sometimes you're out of church for a little while, or your kid gets sick and they can't go to the nursery or whatever. And it's been amazing how that online service has helped us stay connected.
When we've talked to many of the active duty couples, especially the ones deployed, and it's been such a blessing when they're not able to attend church with their family that they can at least attend it in spirit on the online campus. And just seeing the heart behind the church to just expand that and upgrade it and make it better.
a grandmother of eight, to hear the next generation, for them to know the word, for them to know who God is so important. I want my grandchildren to know that, and my grandchildren's grandchildren.
These are steps of faith. That's exciting. Whenever God's involved, it's always exciting.
Come on, church, why don't you help me thank God for all that he's done all these years at Fairhaven Church. It's awesome. And on all of our campuses right now, why don't you stand and say hello to some people around you today? All right, grab a Bible near you or your device, power it up. We're going to be in the New Testament today in Matthew chapter 25. I'll tell you the exact verse in just a second. The word echo for us, if you are a guest and not sure really what this is all about, it comes out of Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk is a prophet in the Old Testament, and Habakkuk was remembering stories. That's why you may be seeing people all around all of our campuses that say, I have a story, because we have stories. As individuals, and we have a story as a church, and it's been amazing to see. And so Habakkuk says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them or echo them in our day, in our time, make them known. And so our prayer, my prayer has been for us over these last 5 weeks is, God, do it again. God, do it again. Do again what you've done in some couples' lives. Do again what you've done in some of our teenagers' lives. Do it again in some people who have been struggling and now have victory in an area of their life. Do it again where people have struggled with their self-esteem and they're beginning to find their identity and value in God. Do it again. Because as our stories are built, then the people all around us at work, the people that live all around us can see that there's something that's different about us. And that difference is Jesus. Because he changes us from the inside out. It's absolutely amazing. Over these last 5 weeks, we've been learning some things about God, because when you take a vision for a church and you begin to understand who God is and you put those two together, it's amazing what can happen in the life of a church. It's amazing how together as a church we can move forward. Today, as we get the opportunity to respond to God, you've heard me say that this is really not about a number. This is about engagement. We want everybody to be engaged, because as we are, then we move together with our stories and with the story of God in the kingdom of God. And so we've said 5 weeks ago that God always comes through. And if you haven't been with us, you might want to jot these down, because even the phrase itself might help you. God always comes through. In your situation, in your circumstance, trust me, you can trust God. He doesn't come through sometimes in the time that we want, in the way, but you can always count on the fact that God will always come through. 4 weeks ago, we learned that God is our resupplier, that God will resupply in your life the things that you need. That's why we can trust him with our stuff. That's why when we are generous to the people around us, when we're generous as a church, he resupplies that. Thirdly, 2 weeks ago, we learned that God cares about our heart. He doesn't care about your stuff. He cares about your heart, because here's what happens. When he has your heart, he has your stuff, because the reality is he gave it all to you. And so we learned that God cares more about our hearts. And last week, we looked at a story about a widow, pretty amazing story. And many of you have heard the story before. And we learned that God wants us to be like him, because every person matters and every gift matters and the size of our faith matters. And so he wants us to be like him. Last week, as we're talking about generosity in the context of this story of this widow who gave two little coins, I raised a question, and I only gave you two answers because I wanted to give you the third one today. So I don't know if you were here or not last week, but let me give you the question. I'll give you the two answers I gave you last week, and then I'll give you the third answer as we look into Matthew chapter 25 today. The question was, why do we give God our money? Like, as a church, as we have a vision, if you're here and you're a guest and you're just excited, maybe inspired that God is doing something in a church, we're glad you're here to hear all this. But why do we give our money to God? I gave you two answers last week. Let me give them to you again so you can jot them down, because I'm going to give you the third answer. First answer is because giving is how we are most like God. When you give in any way, shape, or form, you give your time, of your talent, of your gifts, of your money, of your stuff, you're being like God. And so giving is how we are most like God. That's one reason why giving to God is so important. Here's a second reason, which is really important, actually. The reason why giving God our money is important, because it shrinks the power that money has on you. I'm willing to admit, and I did this last week, that money has a power on me. It has a power on you. It has a power on all of us. And when we're generous, it shrinks that power in our lives. And that's really, really exciting. Well, there's one more answer, and it's found, interestingly enough, in Matthew chapter 25, in a statement that I'm sure that if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard this statement. And so hopefully your Bibles are open. Matthew chapter 25, you'll notice that if you have one of those Bibles that has the red letters, anybody have a Bible with red letters in it? You'll notice that pretty much all of chapter 25 is red, because Jesus is speaking here. In chapter 24, he's sitting on the Mount of Olives, and he's reflecting on the fact that he's going to die. This is about Wednesday before he dies on the cross. And so he's reflecting with his disciples. It tells us that he's sitting there on the Mount of Olives, and he tells them that he's going to die through a metaphor of the temple and how the temple is going to be destroyed, and they don't understand it. And then he begins to talk to them about how he's going to be, you know, raised from the dead, and they don't quite understand that. And then he talks to them about the fact that he's going to come back again. So let's pick it up, the narrative in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he's talking about the fact that Jesus is coming back again. Anybody excited about Jesus coming back again? I mean, what an amazing thing that he's going to come back and rescue us from ourselves, right? So when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations, love that, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So he'll put the sheep on the right, and he'll put the goats on the left. Now, in the first century, the right was a position of honor. It was a position of prestige. It was a position of, you know, that if you sat to the right, of a dinner, then you were in the most important seat. That's why Jesus, as an act of humility and sacrifice, at the Last Supper, he gave up the seat on the right to John. And so the Bible tells us that John was to his right. So Jesus is telling his disciples that when Jesus comes back, he's going to separate out the sheep from the goats, from the believers to those that don't believe. So the sheep here is a metaphor of followers of Jesus or believers. And the goats here is a metaphor of those that don't believe. And so at the very end of time, God is going to come back, and for some of us, that's really, really hard for us to understand, and I've given many messages about how that happens and why it happens and so forth, but everybody gets an opportunity to invite Jesus into their life, and it's up to you. It's your choice. So if you're here and you haven't made that decision, we'd love for you to make that decision, because Jesus is coming back, and one day the sheep go to the right and the goats go to the left, and so in this conversation, verse 34, then the king, who is God the Father, then the king will say to those on his right, that's the followers, right? You following me? Pun intended, just to see if you're following along. So then the king will say to those on the right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom is prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then he says this, and I want you to underline a few words here in your Bible or highlight them, because they're important words. He says, for I, Jesus, was hungry. Underline that real quick. And you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You might want to underline that word, thirsty. And you gave me something to drink. I was stranger, and you invited me in. Underline that, stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes. Underline the word clothes. And you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, underline prison. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The disciples didn't get it. And this is kind of a hard passage, to be honest with you. And so in verse 37, here's how the righteous, or the disciples that were sitting with him on the Mount of Olives, here's what they say. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when were you thirsty and we gave you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king, God the Father, replies, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. How many of you have heard that verse before? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high, and all of our campuses, look around. Many of us, maybe most of us, have heard that. What's interesting is if I were to ask you, who are the least of these? Most of us would right away say, well, that's got to be the poor, those that don't have any clothes, you know, those that are naked, thirsty, those that are in prison. And that's wrong. Now, let me make sure I'm clear. All through the Bible, Jesus tells us that we ought to help the poor. That's why we're doing so much in the city. Jesus tells us that we ought to be concerned about the orphan. And we work with families and try to do helping, you know, making connections with families and so forth. We ought to care about the widows in our city. But right here, Jesus is not referring to the poor. Although I guess in a broader sense, you could say that he's including them. So who's he talking about? Well, the answer is actually found in Matthew chapter 10. So if you want, go to Matthew chapter 10 with me, because we'll find the answer to the question, which then will give us the third reason why giving to God is so important. So turn to Matthew chapter 10 if you want. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his 12 disciples. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to impact the people around you. I want you to actually go to your fellow Jews. Pretty interesting. He says, go to your fellow Jews. Don't go to the Samaritans. Don't go to the other end of the earth. Go to the Jews. And then after his resurrection, then he says, and then I want you to go to all the nations. You see, church, we'll never have a heart for the world if we don't have a heart for our city. We just won't. We got to have a heart for our neighbors, which then will help us to have a heart for, you know, countries in Africa and South America and Asia and the Middle East. And so right here, he gives instructions to his disciples after he sent them out. Look at verse 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 9. Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. And he gives instructions to his disciples as he sends them out. And he says this, do not get any gold or any silver or any copper to take with you in your belt. In other words, don't take any money with you. No bag for your journey. How many would agree that that probably means they're going to be hungry and thirsty? You see where I'm going here? These are the instructions he gave to his disciples. Look at verse 10. He says, no bag for your journey. Don't bring any extra shirts or any sandals or any staff, for the worker is worth his keep. In other words, there will be people that will help provide that. How many would agree with me that that probably means no clothes? You see what's happening here? Drop down to verse 11. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. Sounds a lot like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25. You might have no place to stay. Well, if you drop down to verse 16, he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard, because you might be handed over to local council and be flogged. On my account, you'll be brought before the governors, and they will arrest you, but don't worry about it. I'll tell you what to say. It sounds an awful lot like what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, those that have been arrested and in prison and persecuted and struggling. You see the connection here? See, the least of these was not the poor, but the disciples to expand the kingdom of God. So what Jesus was saying, as all the disciples were there, is that when you are willing to help another disciple, to expand the kingdom of God, you're doing it to me. In fact, let me put it this way, because you might want to jot this down. Here's the third answer to the question, why do we give money to God? And here's the answer. Because followers of Jesus support other followers to tell others about Jesus. That's why Jesus says that when you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. So I want you to know that when my wife and I, we've decided, and we've already made a commitment, and we're going to do so again today with you, but when we make a commitment with our resources, here's what I want you to know. We want to make a commitment because we want to support you in order that you might tell your friends and coworkers and neighbors about Jesus. In other words, one of the reasons why we give God money is because we want followers of Jesus to be supported by other followers of Jesus to tell others about Jesus. Make sense? And that's exactly what Jesus was saying here. In fact, let me put it another way. If you're here today and you understand the message of salvation, meaning that you know that this relationship with God has been broken, and the only way to repair that is for you to surrender your life to God through Jesus because he died for you, that one of the responses of every follower is to support other followers to tell others about Jesus. You see, for those of us that are at Centerville and Northmont, we get the opportunity to support Springboro as they need a permanent home. Because we're going to support followers who are following Jesus, who are telling others about Jesus. That makes sense? In fact, it's the reason why in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus told a story. The disciples, I'm not sure, quite got the story, so let's try it on us today and see if we get the story as we come to, you know, what Jesus is trying to help us understand here, that followers of Jesus support other followers to tell others about Jesus. And the story that he told, if you want to turn back to Matthew chapter 25, is found right before the passage that I read to you. And Jesus told this parable. Now, I don't think it's a true story. It's a parable because Jesus is trying to get a point across to the disciples as they're sitting there together. And you can see the story. It's about five bags of gold. A lot of your Bibles will say it's a parable about bags of gold. And you can see that right there. I'll tell you the story, and you, if you want, you can read it later. Here's what the story is. Jesus said that there's this owner. He's got lots of money, and this owner decided that he was going to give one guy five bags of gold. We'll just say that that's like $5,000. And in fact, right here I have $5,000. We do have security here, by the way, just so you know. $5,000 right here. So he gave five bags of gold to this guy, and he said this, I want you to take this, I want you to go invest it, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to see what you did with it. And he said, okay. And then it says in the story that he took two bags of gold, let's just say that that's $2,000, and that right there equals to $2,000, and that's right there. And he said to him, I want you to take these $2,000, and I want you to go invest it, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to check on you. And he says, okay. So he went off and you know, took his two bags of gold. And then it says he gave to one guy one bag of gold, or let's just say $100, and it's right here, $100. Right there, five 20s, and he says, I want you to take your $100, and it doesn't matter that you have less than this guy or less than this guy, I want you to take your $100, and I want you to invest it, and I'm going to come back and check on you, and we're going to see what you do. So the story goes that after a certain period of time, the guy, the owner comes back, and he checks with the guy, and he says, hey, five bags of gold, 5,000, what did you do with it? He said, you're not going to believe it. I invested it, and I got five more. And in the story, Jesus says, wow, I'm going to give that guy some responsibility because I can trust him. I can trust him with more. Then he goes to the guy with two bags of gold and he says, what'd you do with it? And the guy says, I invested it. I mean, I did something with it and I got two more bags of gold. And so the owner says, congratulations, you were amazing and I can trust you now with more. Then he gets to the guy with 100. He says, what did you do with yours? The guy says, you know, I was really worried, and I'm paraphrasing here. I was worried the stock market might drop. I was worried that I might lose my job. I mean, things are kind of volatile. I was worried about the culture because things are chaotic in culture. And so you know what I did? I actually buried the $100 because I wanted to make sure that when you came back, I could give you the $100 back. And he was scolded because he didn't do anything with it. See, church, there are some of us that have this amount, some of us that have this amount, some of us that have this amount. There's some of us that have different amounts. And what Jesus is saying here in this story and to his disciples, that when you and I support followers of Jesus who want to tell others about Jesus, that makes God happy. We get the opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. So as we come to the conclusion of this series and as we come to the place of taking this prayer card that we've been holding for weeks, and some of you have it on your fridge and in your cars and in your Bibles, I want to make sure it's very clear that when we sacrifice for the kingdom, we're giving honor. We're not giving money, we're giving honor. We're honoring God because he's investing in us to invest in others. And so we're going to be able to do that today. We want the followers of Jesus to support other followers of Jesus to tell others about, say it with me, church, Jesus.